Thanks, everybody, for tuning into The Short Thing. Today, we're a day late, but it is December 17th. Warren is here today. Ryan is not here. Yesterday, had some issues with my internet, and we couldn't get another good time to record. My internet was out for, eight, nine hours yesterday. So we have my good buddy Austin in here. He is, you go check him out on Instagram. Look, he gives out pics, gives out his weekly card, The Transparent Camper, so go follow him on the gram. So he's in to talk about some of the lines and the card ahead for this NFL weekend. I do have Ryan's picks for today, or for the bowl games up ahead, and for this NFL weekend. So we have that. He did not have a pick last night, so we dodged a bullet there. You can check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and on the iHeartRadio app under the podcast section. That is The Short Thing. Also, you can check us out on Anchor FM. We've switched hosting sites, so we're not being hosted on SoundCloud anymore. We're hosted on Anchor. Seems like a better move there. So we're on Anchor FM. You can check us out on there as well. So go be sure to give us a listen. Austin, thanks for coming on today.
Happy to be on, man. Week 15. Let's get it going.
Week 15 for sure. And let me tell you, there is chaos in week 15. Wouldn't you agree? Not regarding the game last night, but chaos in general in week 15, more than I think we've ever seen. Even last year with the COVID, we've got the Browns have like 20 players on the list. Washington now, just Taylor Heinicke tested positive. So their quarterbacks this week are Garrett Gilbert, Kyle Shermer, and Jordan Tuamu, who played at Ole Miss. They're out. The Rams put like 9 dudes on the list yesterday. I think they're at like 25 guys on the list. The Bears have issues. I mean, it is just chaos right now in the NFL. And if you're betting, you almost gotta wait. I don't know. You don't seem to like to wait last minute. When you see a line you like, you get it. And I'm kind of the same way, but you kind of almost got to wait a little bit to see with the lines this week.
So the way I kind of look at it with the COVID is the double-edged sword of, yeah, somebody on your team that you pick could be out for COVID, but also somebody on the other team could go out for COVID. It's like that 50-50 chance. And I definitely want to be in picks before the day of the game. As early as I can, if I think I know enough. But yeah, just trying to figure out, you know, who the heck's in, who the heck's out. And the earlier I can know more than other people before that line gets moving in Vegas, like I can't even get a pick in on the Washington football team on my book that I use right now. You know, they got it locked up, it looks like, but you know, trying to figure out what teams are too depleted. I think your Browns are pretty depleted, man.
The Browns are very depleted. But I will say, like, Nick Mullins for a third string quarterback, like, you could do a lot worse than that.
Has he been on the team the whole year?
Yeah, he's been on the practice squad the whole year. And they've protected him like every week. And I remember seeing, like, oh, Nick Mullins is the third string guy or the practice squad guy. I was like, you know what? That's a pretty, hopefully he never has to play a game. But like, if he does have to step in, like, you got to feel kind of confident. The bigger issue with the Browns is that I think 5 of the 6 starting defensive backs are on the COVID list. They got 2 line, Wyatt Teller and Conkler and Wills are on the list. Like, the bigger issue is like quarterback. Obviously, you would want Jarvis is on the list, but I'll tell you what, I like Jamarcus Bradley, my guy Jamarcus Bradley. But yeah, Jarvis is on the list. Look, there's big time guys on the list, but the thing is, like, Chubb's not on there. De'Ernest Johnson has showed himself nicely for a running back to fill in as a backup. But yeah, no, the main thing to me is that the secondary is without like 5 of the top 6 guys. That's the thing that worries me more than having to trot out Nick Mullins, because look, he could complete some slants to Peoples Jones to Njoku, he's coming back. Harrison Bryant, I think he's back. You get the screen game going. Look, you could, he could do that, but stopping Hunter Renfrow, who the Raiders like target 10, 12 times a game, I would look to see, like, if you, I'm a big player prop guy. I love props and the alt lines on props and stuff. Like, if you can find Hunter Renfrow, whatever is 10 plus catches and it's like plus money, I think that's a really, really good bet because they're going to feed him. Like, the secondary is mainly what concerns me. But the weather also tomorrow in Cleveland is supposed to be pretty bad, which I think is a big time favor for them. Tomorrow in Cleveland, it is supposed to be 40 degrees with 100% chance of rain. So that's a sloppy game there. So hopefully they don't the deep pass is not in there. But yeah, no, it's hanging up. I don't, maybe I'm sounding a little homerish, but also the Raiders have been in the, like, when did you say they've mailed it in kind of the last 3-4 weeks? I know they beat the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, but like, they kind of mailed it in.
I mean, they've just had a lot of turmoil, I would say,
for sure,
in their organization this year. But I mean, I still think that they're a tough opponent. I guess maybe I'm a little opposite of you there. Like, I think, I mean, they still have an outside looking in shot of trying to get into the wild card. Like, I mean, their offense is pretty tough. Like, Carr has been good this year.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're going to get your Browns.
I would say they, I mean, they're 3.5 point favorites. They also look,
I like them -3.5 this week.
Yeah. I would lean towards that, but I would say that, look, defensive line too. Max Crosby and Yannick Ngakoue, those are guys that are like real studs up front. That if you're having to go on backup tackles, that's a problem there.
If Jarvis is out, they're just gonna bring that. His name's escaping me. Who's the safety from Mississippi State?
Jonathan Abram.
They're just gonna bring guys in the box and load the box. If you guys aren't gonna be able to throw, Nick Mullins not gonna be able to throw over the top with like these receivers that aren't gonna. I don't know. That's just my opinion on that one. I think the Raiders, I think they're gonna run the ball. I don't know. I think I like the Raiders in this one.
Yeah. But I do not have a pick on this game. I will say though, there is also something that the everyone's against us type of rah-rah type of deal. But the problem is when half of the dudes are gone, it's kind of hard to do that rah-rah thing. Do the whole, well, everybody's against us. We have that type of deal going on. But who do the Rams got this? Because I was liking the Eagles before it was like 7 against Washington. Or no, I was kind of liking Washington, but now I don't like that game. Who do the Rams have? No, they have Seattle. That's down to like 4.5. I thought Seattle, when they got Wilson back, was going to make a little charge, and they really have not. They have not done that. They've been pretty disappointing.
Their defense is trash.
It's terrible. They can't block anybody still.
Right.
It's like the same problems they've had for the last, 2 or 3 years. But this week, so one of the trends that I've talked about here a lot this week has been teams that didn't cover the week before against teams that did cover, and then taking the team that didn't cover against that. So pretty much a bounce back spot. Right. So this week, teams that didn't cover last week against teams that did, you got, Cincinnati getting 3 at the Broncos. That one really screams out to me. That's really the only one I think I saw that is teams that didn't cover versus teams that did cover. But I don't know. What do you think about it? So you're kind of fading the team from the week before that played well, and then the team that kind of played bad. It's just pretty much the NFL this year to me has been just a seesaw of a true total week to week league.
Yeah, and a lot of parity. Anybody can beat anybody, lose to anybody. I definitely like to go for a bounce back in the NFL when these teams spit out a dud of a game. So much goes into a football game that a lot of times when they have a bad one, they bounce back pretty decently. At least the good teams do.
Yeah, but then now you're running into the spot of like, it's week 15, but we kind of see, we have an idea of what like teams are. So like in the Broncos Bengals situation, like I would tend to lead to the Bengals, but I don't think that they're ready for, not that they're ready, but they've proven that when they've had a bigger game against a quality team, and I'll say like I don't think the Steelers are very good, so I'm not putting them in like a quality team thing, but like you would think that they're in a prime bounce back spot against the Broncos, who offense struggles a little bit with Teddy B and all that. But then I'm like, man, I can't really trust the Bengals in that spot.
Bengals have been one of those teams that have been hit or miss. I mean, you look at their record at 7-6, you know, like they're on, they're off, they're on, they're off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know who to take in that one. That one's a toss-up for me for sure. Yeah, if I was leaning one way, I'd lean the Bengals way. Just some of the weapons that they have on offense are pretty good. But you brought up the Steelers. My top play of the week is, I don't know when you get into the picks or exactly how you like to do it, but my top play is Titans this week.
I was just going to – oh, I was going to ask first before you got into it, but what – like when you see, so you say your top play is the Titans. This is a good segue. I'm giving out five picks. You can just give out whatever picks you have because we give out five picks and kind of see how we do in the super contest each week. But I have the Titans -1.5 is what it is, I think, on the super contest. So those are the lines. But now I'm seeing like it's like a pick 'em.
It's a pick 'em. And it's
yeah.
Like,
so
I'm not really. I mean, the Steelers' season's on the line. So, I mean, and I just don't think – I think it's time for Big Ben to get taken out to pasture, and that team just does not impress me. So,
I would also like to know why – okay, so hold on. What – so when you say your game of the week, the Titans, or when you're looking at what research do you look in, or what is it that makes you like a pick? Because for me, I'm just like – I'm pretty much just like – look at a couple of stats. Have they covered? What's their cover rate? I mean, I just kind of just have a, I just go by the feel. Like I'm not, I know there's a lot of guys that bring out the model, the EPA, yards per play, blah, 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 this and that. I'm just kind of a feel guy, which is probably not the best thing to do, but I'm having a good year. What do you take into account? What do you look at?
I've got a million different, just, I guess storylines, are probably just, you know, what's the status, what's going on, you know, like what's the, so like for right now for week 15, I'd say COVID seems like a big storyline going on. Who's that hurting? I love to go against injuries. Yeah, I love to go against wounded animals for sure. If I think I find somebody who just doesn't have the even the players to get it done via injury. Love going against injured quarterbacks, so like betting against a backup quarterback. For this one, it's just the state of the season. I just like the Titans getting into form for the playoffs and trying to get one of those top, you know, trying to get as high a seed as they can here to finish up the season before they maybe even start resting people, and to just, the Steelers have their season on the line. And I just don't think they're good enough to keep, you know, however many that streak Tomlin has, years of winning teams, like this isn't a winning team to me when I watch them.
No, I would, I totally agree about the Steelers. They have been like, I don't need, are people, I know they're getting like at home, they probably play a little better, but like, are people looking at the fourth quarter of pretty much the game last Thursday against the Vikings and be like, yeah, this is a team that's going to show up every day? Cause I mean, you like the Vikings, you can tell me, but I'm pretty much thought that the Vikings took the foot off the gas and were like, hey, we're up 29-0. This one's in the bag. Let's just get out of here with no injuries and fight for Monday night with our playoff lives on the line against the Bears. Like, that's what I pretty much thought was going on there.
Yeah, I mean, the Steelers are professionals and they have good coaches, but I think the good coaches can only get you so far. And I think they, you know, they maybe schemed up after halftime and came out with a lot better plan, but they were already down in the hole.
Yeah, I also just, like you said, Big Ben, he stinks. Like, he's not good. He's not good. They have no running game. Everything they're trying to do this year, we need to run the ball, this and that. It's just, it's not there. They don't do that.
They're just not dynamic enough. I mean, I guess they're not like Claypool isn't very fast, and like, you know what I'm saying? They had Juju. Yeah. He wasn't that fast. Like, I guess, you know, that kid from Oklahoma State, is that Washington?
Yeah, Washington.
I guess he can open it up a little bit, but I mean, that Deontay Johnson, I mean, they've got a couple guys, but like they just don't take the top off the defense. And I think Vrabel will scheme them up, you know, and take care of them and keep in check and just whatever little check down plays they got and offensive line problems they got, I think he's going to sniff them out.
No, I agree with that. I also think like the Titans, they've had a ton of injuries. They've also had, I think, some COVID issues with like Brown and Julio Jones, but those guys are coming back. I don't think they've really played that poorly since Derrick Henry's been out, and the defense is good. They're a good defense. I like the Titans this week. And if even the Steelers season is on the line, I mean, do they really have they're 6-6-1, so the tie helps them out, but they still need a bunch of teams in the AFC to lose for them to really have an outside shot at the playoffs, I think. I mean, they're definitely on the outside looking at. Who would you say has a better chance of making the playoffs, the Dolphins or the Steelers?
Man, if Waddle's out, which he is this week, which I guess I think they played the Jets.
They do.
Twice, the Dolphins.
They have, they have the Jets, Saints, Titans, and Patriots. So they have a little bit of a tough schedule.
Yeah, they do.
And
so all right, I'm picking between the Dolphins and the who?
The Steelers. Because yeah, 6-7 and 6-6-1, I know the tie is a big help for the Steelers, but.
Yeah, I don't think either of those teams are getting in.
No, I would agree. But I'm just saying.
I guess I'd probably pick Miami just because they've got the Jets. They should win. But, man, without Waddle, I don't know. That team's just – they don't have a lot of dynamic playmakers either on offense.
No, I would agree. But I'm saying, like, you would trust Miami's been playing – what, they've won 5 in a row? They've looked pretty good doing it. So it's like you could see that them – you could – I hate saying, well, they're playing well at the right time. They've probably dug too deep a hole. But – they're still there.
Yep.
That's what I like about that. All right. So the big NFL with the COVID, the second biggest story this week was probably Urban Meyer. Wouldn't you agree?
Yep.
So he got canned in the middle of the night, fired in the middle of the night, which was a great, which was funny to wake up to on yesterday morning. I did see someone that said Shad Khan, all-time genius move, firing Urban Meyer at midnight, but first thing in the morning for all the Jaguar London fans, right at 6 a.m. I thought that was pretty funny. The line now has moved. It was like 3 or 4. Now it's moved up to 5. Are you buying on this Urban Meyer was a two-point problem for the Jaguars? Because that's pretty crazy.
I mean, addition by subtraction, I don't know. Is it going to be more happier players in Jacksonville now that he's out? It didn't seem like they were big fans of him. But, yeah, I really don't know what to think about what's going on with the Jaguars. They've just been kind of irrelevant for the last however long.
No, they've been very irrelevant. And this is a funny thing that the Jaguars, what, they've had 10 out of the last 11 seasons, they've lost double-digit games, the one being when they were pretty much had one foot in the Super Bowl, and they didn't make it.
Oh, my God, that game that they choked cost them money. I still remember it.
Totally choked.
They had Tom Brady dead to rights.
Yes.
And they just absolutely screwed the pooch.
Yes. Yes, they did. So, like, you have that. And they are like they're a nothing franchise.
Right.
They are no one. They don't do anything. So they're a team that you could say like, oh, okay. You know what? We'll take a shot on a college coach or whatever. Urban Meyer. We could take him because normally people don't care about us. They won't talk about us. Well, that was just the totally opposite. They were just talked about nonstop when he had his thing after the Bengals game at his restaurant in Columbus with the chick, him not flying on the plane back to Jacksonville. That was the bigger thing to me than anything. And now their story, and it's just, I mean, it's still a good, I would say it's still a, if you're a coach, you kind of want to be like, hey, you know what? I wouldn't mind coaching there. You got Trevor Lawrence. They got some weapons on offense. I know the offensive line is terrible, but
oh, I would take that job if I were a coach.
Yeah. You got
I know it's been disarray out there, but like, I like LaVisca Chenault. I like, you know, Robinson. I like, you know, Trevor Lawrence. Who else? DJ Chark. They got some guys.
Dan Arnold's not a bad tight end.
Who's all their receivers? It's Chark. It's LaVisca Chenault.
Marvin Jones.
Yep. They got some guys that can play. They just need to get it. I don't understand how they're so unorganized though. It just, I don't ever watch them because they're so bad. But
yeah, I don't either.
I'm shocked that they only won 2 games. I still think Trevor Lawrence is going to be a star. Just going to take him some time, I guess. But
yeah, no. Ryan said on this show multiple times that he thinks Trevor Lawrence is like the greatest. What has he said? He was the greatest quarterback prospect like ever come out of school.
Right.
Is what he said. Yeah, yeah. He was buying in on all the hype there. All right. What other plays you got for this week in the NFL, or what other talking points you think are there?
So I haven't put out my card yet for this week. Like I said, the top play for me is going to be the Titans. And then I like the over in the Vikings and Bears game. I mean, the Vikings defense can't stop anybody. And so I think with the Bears starting to get more into sync, they looked good against the Packers. They put up a fight at least.
Yeah.
And then Rodgers still went all over the Bears defense. And I think the Vikings will be able to get theirs. That I think if the weather is decent, which it's supposed to be, I don't see 44 being a problem as far as getting over that. I think that game will go over. Yeah, I definitely like what do we got going on here? Kind of looking around. And then I'm definitely going with the Raiders -3.5 against the Browns being depleted with all the injuries and the COVID stuff like that. That's just one that I'll take the L if Nick Mullins if Nick Mullins goes out there with the ragtag squad and somehow just fucking pieces one together, then that's, you just take your L on that one. But you know, I think if the Raiders get Jacobs going, get the run game going with all those guys out in the secondary, I think Renfro and Jackson and, you know, I believe in Carr. So I think that's one of the plays. So that's 3 plays so far that I've said.
You don't need to keep digging. I was just curious.
No, yeah, I'd say those are my top plays so far from the board that I've been seeing. I struggle with the ones that are a ton of points in the NFL. Because, man, those points. But it's like, man, I think the Niners, you know, they need that win. And they're going to smash the Falcons. I think the Falcons are terrible. So, I mean, but just 9.5 points, man. In the NFL, it's a lot of points.
And the Falcons, they win this game. They're right in the middle of the playoff race right now. I mean, I agree there. I don't think they're very good. But, like, the Falcons being at 6-7 is like, whoa, how did that happen?
Right. Yeah. I guess I didn't even realize that they're 6-7.
Yeah, they're 6-7, right in the mix.
Yeah.
I would agree with you on their some of the points. All right, so I'll give out Ryan's card. Don't know what his record was last week. Forgot to go back and listen, but he's on the he's taking the bait Saturday night and taking the Patriots +2.5 at Indy. He's got Green Bay -5.5 against the Ravens. He has the Falcons +9 against the Niners, the Bengals +2.5 at the Broncos, which we talked about, and then the Rams -4.5 against the Seahawks. And then my 5 games last week, I had a nice 4-1 week. Nice 4-1 week.
Nice.
Yes, I am a 42-28 on the season.
Love that.
Picking 5 games a week. Things have been. This is really a really good NFL week. I am going to also take the Packers -5.5 against the Ravens. I have been saying that the Ravens have been fraudulent since that comeback win against the Colts on Monday night. They should have lost to the Chiefs before then. They should have lost that game. Just was not. The defense is bad. Lamar, seriously, last week against the Browns, you had the Ravens last week in your underdog Moneyline special. I don't know if you got to catch any of the game, but like Tyler Huntley was outplaying Lamar. I know Lamar played a quarter and a half or whatever, pretty much. I think he got hurt with like 4 minutes to go in the second quarter, but like Huntley in the second half was, I said on Monday, throwing the ball better than Lamar. Jadeveon Clowney said he was faster and jukier than Lamar Jackson. I'm not saying I would take Huntley over Lamar, but like something is totally wrong with Jackson right now, but I'm still going to take the Packers minus 5.5. And I just think their defense, look, they're without Humphrey in addition to Peters, like their secondary is just eaten up. They're not going to be able to stop Adams and Lazard. So I like the Packers minus 5.5. I'm going to take the Titans minus 1.5. I said that. I've got the Dolphins minus 10. I just don't think you can really put any money on the Jets. And that's a lot of points at home against the Jets. The Dolphins, as you said, it's hard taking a... Huh?
No Waddle for Miami.
I know, no Waddle, but it's the Jets. This is also a thing of, I don't really like any other games out there that I'm just going to stick with it. Like, I'm looking at the card. Like, I could say the Eagles. I want the Eagles, but what's that line going to move up to, 10 or 11?
Yeah, Washington football team is just decimated. Yeah, and I don't really know what to think about that one. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just a thing of maybe I put the Cowboys in there because they're going against Glennon, but something always is a little fishy about the NFC East given double-digit points like on the road. That seems a little, I don't know. I don't like that, even though the Cowboys should probably win going away.
Well, they're definitely, yeah, it's like they're definitely going to win, but 11 points, so you could get backdoored on a garbage points that don't even matter.
You can get backdoored like I know they covered last week, but you could get backdoored what happened last week. They're up 24-0 at the half, put it in cruise control, and find themselves in a little bit of a fight at having to eke one out at the end. So I don't really like that. So I'll take Miami minus 10. I'm going to take the Jags. I'll take the 4 or 5. I believe in that. Look, I don't also, but Davis Mills having betting against him, I think, should be pretty profitable. I'm serious. I don't really think. I mean, he's played better, hasn't he, since Tyrod came back in, and then he came back in, I think, but
he's been putting up his fight, you know, the best he can, but their team is just brutal.
Horrible. And then I'm going to take, I had the Bears here, but they got some COVID issues. So I'll, you know what? I'll take the Colts tomorrow night, minus 2.5. That's
it ain't going to all be smooth sailing for rookie quarterback and Bill Belichick. They got to hit some shit at some point.
I agree. And like so both teams had a bye week. And Mac Jones has been fine, but he hasn't won a game with his arm. They just ran the ball down the throats of everybody. And if the Bills were competent, they win that game on Monday night.
I feel like in that system, you don't really win with your like decision making. And he seems good at making decisions to me.
Mac Jones?
Yep.
No, he is very good at making decisions. But don't you, the Colts offense, I don't think people realize like how good a season Carson Wentz is having. I know he's having a pretty good season. He makes.
I would say they're just the team that I don't maybe see enough. I guess not on my radar enough, but to know that he's having a great season. But yeah, I mean, I have always respect the Colts, and you know that when you play the Colts, it's going to be they're going to throw the kitchen sink at you. They're going to run the ball. They're going to play defense.
I mean, Wentz has 22 touchdowns this year, 5 interceptions, quarterback rating at about 97.
Good for him. Yeah.
I mean, he's
good. Yeah.
I feel like, though, all 5 of those interceptions, he ends up getting clowned on Twitter because there's some just horrible plays. But I don't know. I like the Colts. They've been playing a lot. They've been playing some really good football lately. So those are the picks. Titan, I'm taking all favorites. That's not good. As this is the funniest thing too, because I texted Austin, this was what, 2 months ago, a month and a half ago,
Yeah, probably. Or that I always take favorites.
Yeah, I said, do you ever take an underdog? I should say that you do give a money line underdog of the week. That's like a separate one. But the picks that you give that you put out on Instagram against the spread, it just seems like every week it was just favorites. And I just texted you. I was like, man, do you ever take an underdog? And they're like, no, not really. And here I am, you're on. And I'm here, I got five favorites this week.
I want to bet on in my head what's going to be an ass beating, or I always want to bet on a team to win. I never want to think like, oh, I don't think this team's going to win, but they're going to come within this many points. I just never like to be on that side. But man, let me tell you, there's been a lot of dogs covering this year in the NFL.
So yeah, no,
my record hasn't been the greatest. I think my record's like, you said your record was, that sounded pretty good, man. I mean, my record is 27 and 23 and 2 or something. So only up a couple units. So this year has been my best year. It seems like you're having a good year picking.
Yeah, no, I am. And I will say a lot of that is because I've done fading the team that played well the 1 week against the team that played bad the last week.
Okay.
So that has been a help. And look, I don't hate taking a ugly 11-point underdog. I know it's a hold your nose, but I don't know. I don't really hate having to sweat that out. Like if you take, say on Sunday night, or say you take the Giants plus 11, you'll pretty much know within the first quarter if you got a shot to cover, if it's just over, if it's dead. And to me, I guess I don't really, that's not that big a deal. I'll hope for a back door, but you can kind of get the sense early on if that's going to be a good bet or not. And sometimes I just think you got to take a, you're not betting the team, you're betting the number.
Right, for sure. And I think I need to be better about doing it. It's just like, yeah, I haven't. Well, it's like I see here, like Lions plus 13.
Yes.
I don't want to be on the Lions side of that, you know? Like, I just don't want to be, you know, the New Orleans Saints plus 10.5. Like, they're going to lose. I don't want to be in on them. But at the same time, it's a ton of points. They could easily come with, I mean, not easily, but they could come within 10.5. You know, they can lose by 6 and they don't give a shit. You get in the fourth quarter, you know, they're just, you know, Tampa Bay's just running the clock out, or the way the games can go out to where nobody's trying to score in the end, you know, and then boom, you got backdoor covers, you got underdogs covering all the time.
Yes. No, I agree. I will. Okay. So we were talking about, I don't know if you were talking about favorites. They're 47% this year. Underdogs are 53%. This is the whole NFL against the ATS trends.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, I don't know if you've been paying us, but road teams are now 56%. They're 116 and 91. So away teams have been great, and away favorite, the things you really need to do, away underdogs are hitting at a 57% clip this year. They're 70-52-1. And I think that's gotta be close to an all time high. And then away favorites are hitting 53%, 44 and 39. We talked about that last week. But away teams, like, you always like, man, a home team getting points, love to do that. But away teams have been great this year.
Yeah, I mean, God, Vegas is so crazy with how they can get in the 50s of these percentages all the time. Like, it's just insane.
And I will say the Cardinals, so that line against the is 13 against the Lions. They're 7-0 on the road. And every game they played on the road, they've won by double digits, which is a crazy stat, which I don't think a team in NFL history has ever gone undefeated on the road and then won every game by double digits. So, I mean, 13, you would think that line is like, okay, well, we're just going on what the Cardinals have done so far this year. When they play on the road, they just blow teams out. They have one more road game. That is the second against the Cowboys. So we'll have to see what goes on there. All right, do you have anything else in the NFL? Because then we'll just run through the Ryan and I have some college picks for the bowl season.
I think the three that I gave are good for me. Yeah, I said Vikings over, rocking with the Titans, and who was the other one that I said? I'm going with the Raiders.
The Raiders, yeah.
Yeah, those will be my three.
Man, I talked about this last week on Thursday. I gave out a couple props, and one of them I liked was Justin Jefferson, 10 or more catches last Thursday night. Is Thielen back this week, or is he still out?
It's undecided right
now.
Yeah.
Jefferson getting 10-plus catches was like plus 300. Cousins was killing me. I mean, Jefferson had 6 catches early on. And then got one pass. He had 15 targets. He just couldn't catch anything. Cousins is a frustrating thing.
Yeah, he kills me. Yeah, if I were the GM, I would walk in and I would take the nameplate off Cousins' stall and he would be on a different team. But that's just, it is what it is. I can't blame him for everything that's gone on this season because they have put up points on offense.
Yeah.
But I mean, you could almost take the Justin Jefferson yards over every game. I feel like he's a freaking bucket of a football player. Like, he just fills it up. Like, I don't know what his number is for this week, but anytime I've done a Justin Jefferson over, it hits.
Yeah, I would think he's got to be hitting like 70%, 70% this year, right? It seems like he's getting 90 yards a game each game.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he's a star for sure, especially when they got him and Thielen rolling, like pick who you want to double. And
yes,
and then it's just, you know, kind of open season for them. Or if they get their running game going, he's hard to account for the whole game. See what they got going on with the Bears this week.
Yeah, no, but the props I gave out last week, Nick Chubb over receiving yards was a loser of typical Warren fashion, gives out something he's rode all year, and it's hit like a 70%. The two props I gave out last week were Nick Chubb's over receiving yards. He had 3 catches, which was tied for his most on the season for like 6 yards, and his prop was 11.5. And then Fournette, who's been bagging catches and yards left and right, he had 4. The catches hit because he had 4 catches. It was over 3.5. His yards was short. Both of those have been hitting. Had hit 7 out of the last 9 weeks. All 3 of those. And, of course, I give them out. And they're losers in typical fashion. But Fournette's injured this week, so we'll have to pause on that. But Chubb, we're going back to Chubb this week. I think you're going to see a lot of screen passes this week there. So that is
a lot of screens for Mullins this week.
A lot of screens for Mullins. Take the Ernest Johnson over yards. Take Chubb over total yards. It's a lot of short pass. Njoku over yards. A lot of short passing game this week. All right, we'll get to the college picks. I kind of rushed you up on college, so I don't think you have anything for us unless you're just going through the card now to see if anything. But we got the Bahamas Bowl today. I'm not taking anything in that. So my card for college. Regular season record, as I said, 80-62-2. So we're pretty good there.
Yeah,
I'm taking Northern Illinois plus 10.5 today against Coastal. Like what Northern Illinois has shown this year, especially in the MAC championship game. They're a gritty team. So I like them plus 10.5. Then tomorrow I got Western Kentucky plus 3, the over in UTEP Fresno, Eastern Michigan plus 9.5 against Liberty. Then the night capper is Marshall plus 5. And then my picks for next week, I'll give out my pick for Tuesday, and then Wednesday we'll give out for the rest of the week. I like the Kent over at 58.5. Ryan's picks for college this week is this game. It's not going to be where I'm not going to post it in time for people to find out, but he's got the Middle Tennessee State Toledo over 49.5. That's the Bahamas Bowl. He's also got Western Kentucky plus 3. He's got UTEP over 51, BYU minus 7 against UAB, Utah State plus 7.5 against Oregon State. He's got Louisiana minus 5.5 against Marshall, has Kent State over UTSA minus 2.5 in the Frisco Bowl, and then Army Mizzou under 57. That game is on Wednesday, so ample time for that. So those are Ryan's picks. He was at a good clip in college this year. He was around 84, 66, I think, or something. So he's having a good college season. In the NFL, he's right around 5.5. He's right around 500 in the NFL this year. All right, Austin, you have anything else for us? Are you betting the NHL right now? Anything on that or not?
I've been all focused on NFL right now. And then once NFL wraps up, I'll probably start looking at college basketball and getting into that. I don't love betting on the NHL regular season. I don't really like betting on NBA regular season either. Maybe dial in more into the NHL in the playoffs and the NBA in the playoffs. But yeah, I'd say when this NFL season wraps up, I'm going to start looking into college basketball.
College basketball is a graveyard. That's landmines everywhere, as I said.
Who knows where the way that ball is bouncing?
You have no clue what's going on there. Are you aware of the Cavs cover run that they're on?
I'm not, but it seems like they're buzzing. What's going on with them?
They are 23-5 against the spread this year.
Wow.
And they've covered their last 13 in a row.
I guess I would plug, or I should say, I guess if I said I'm not into NHL regular season, but bet against the Arizona Coyotes any game they play, because that they should be relegated from the league. They should be relegation. Like, I don't understand. They're so bad.
We talked about them last week, how they almost got evicted from the on Monday, almost they got evicted from the arena. And honestly, I was hoping they got evicted, because how funny would that be that a professional sports team got evicted from where they were supposed to play?
Yeah. I mean, so I was living out in Arizona, and like, you can't, so they play out in Glendale, which is like 45 minutes, depending on traffic, it could be like 45 to like an hour or even longer with traffic. And like, nobody can get from the Phoenix, Tempe, Scottsdale area out to the weekday games in time.
Yeah.
And so it's just like all, it's like not even worth it in the week. I think it's easier for them with the Cardinals, because they're right next to the Cardinals stadium. It's easier for them with the Cardinals, because it's just like a one Sunday game, you know, 8 home games. It's pretty easy to get out there on a Sunday, but they just got weird stuff being out in Glendale. They should not be out there.
Yeah, it's almost kind of like the Cowboys or the Rangers and Cowboys playing in Arlington. I know it's probably a little like, I know why they do it, because it's between Fort Worth or whatever, but is that a far off reach?
No, I don't think that's far off. I think it's, yeah, I think it's a lot easier for the people to get to the Cowboys games, because, like I said, there's, you know, there's only, you know, however so many. But yeah, I'm not dying to get to Arlington. It's hell. Getting to Arlington's a pain in the ass.
It is a real pain in the ass.
A weekday?
Pardon?
On a weekday?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, like, it's just, it's a lot.
It is a lot there. All right, that will be the spot where we wrap up. Thanks, Austin, for coming on. Go check him out. Follow his Instagram, The Transparent Capper. And we'll be back on Monday. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a good weekend.